If someone would like to read a scripture from Luke chapter 1 today, verses 26 to 38. Today we celebrate Mother's Day. I always like to look at a little history. I always liked history. So I was wondering, I know I did this for Father's Day. I never did it for Mother's Day. But two women were significant in starting Mother's Day. And this all would have been modern. More modern history, this would have all happened around the time of the Civil War. It would have. The first woman was named Ann Jarvis, and in 1958, which would have been right before the Civil War, she started a Mother's Day work club. Ann was a young mother or a young woman that lived in the Appalachian Mountains, and the infant mortality rate was very high. And she started this day to teach women sanitation, things about being cleanly, thank you, so that their children wouldn't be getting sick from disease and things like that. So that's what started that day. And then after the Civil War, around 1870, there was a lady that named Julia Wood Howe, who called for a Mother's Day for peace. And that was dedicated to the celebration of peace and eradication of war. Another lady by the name of Anna Jarvis, which was the daughter of Ann. I thought it's interesting their names were so close. She worked then on behalf of her mother to get a day when the country would honor mothers. And in 1941, I have here, when President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill designated the second Sunday in May to be Mother's Day. I'm thinking that might be the wrong date I wrote down, but I think it was 1914, maybe. But they picked the month of May because Ann Jarvis, the mother, that was her birth month. So that's kind of a little bit of the origins of Mother's Day. But today's a special day we set aside to honor you mothers for all that you do and all that you have done, all that you will do as mothers. So it's a special day for you. Today we're going to look at probably the most famous mother or the most well-known mother in Scripture. Does anyone want to guess who that might be? Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so I have seven things to learn from, I think, the life of Mary. And the first five come from this scripture that Dave's going to read. It's Luke 1, verses 26 to 38, if you'd like to follow along.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we look at this scripture, we just pray that you would open our hearts to receive what you're teaching us. I pray that you would use my mouth and my mind to minister to us this morning. We want to hear from you, Father, and we're so thankful that we could gather together to be in your presence this morning. In your name we pray, amen. The first thing I have of the seven is that Mary was a woman of God. And I thought that was pretty easy to see in these first couple of verses, verses 26 and 28. How many Jewish women do you think were alive at the time that could have done, that could have carried Jesus and gave birth to Jesus? There was quite a number, I'm sure, living at that time. And yet, God chose Mary. We don't know all that went through Mary's mind and her heart. We have a very short scripture here that gives that account. But Mary had to love the Lord. She had to be following in his footsteps for him to choose her. We know that she was pure. It says that she was a virgin. She had never been with a man. So she was living a life that would have pleased God, I believe. The other thing we see is that, what does Gabriel say about Mary? He says, you're highly favored. God thought a lot of Mary, and he appreciated, I think, her love for him. So she was definitely, I think, a great woman of God. And I think one of the things a mother can do, it's probably one of the most important things, is that a mother's example of her love for the Lord, I think, makes a drastic impact on her family. So if you really love the Lord and you're serving the Lord, your kids are going to see that. Your grandkids are going to see that, and it makes an impact on their life. Just as Mary must have made an impact on the Lord that he specifically chose her to do this great task. The second thing we see is we look at verses 29 to 33. 29 starts out saying Mary was greatly troubled. But I think if an angel would appear to any of us, it would probably be startling. And the angel gives this wonderful greeting to Mary, and it says she was troubled. And she must have been afraid because Gabriel tells her not to be afraid. And then when he hears the message, I can only imagine what she thought. But in spite of being troubled and afraid, this is the second thing. She was willing to allow God to work through her. Can you imagine what thoughts must have been going through her mind? What would happen to a young Jewish girl who was engaged to be married and became pregnant before they came together? Do you know what one of the consequences for that could be? Stoning. Stoning. And at the very least, she probably would have been a lot of, Dave, did you hear about Mary? Do you know what she did? Can you believe that? Gossiping. She was probably publicly, would have been publicly humiliated. It wouldn't have been an easy life for Mary going through all those things. And yet, I see humility in Mary as well, because in verse 34, she says, well, how can this be? How can this be since I'm a virgin? And when she thinks about carrying Jesus, this says the Son of the Most High, and later the Son of God, can you imagine how she felt? What that, well, I'm not worthy to do that. It doesn't specifically say that she did that, but in spite of all those thoughts she may have had, she was still willing to let God work through her life. And I had to think about that in verse 34 when she asked, how can this be? I think that sometimes we face difficulties in life. As mothers, I'm sure you had lots of times when your kids were growing up that maybe you weren't sure what to do in certain situations. And maybe there's things like health issues or other things that come into your life. Maybe you have a child that hasn't accepted the Lord. That would be a burden on a mother who loves the Lord. But when we face tough times, when we have doubts about what God's doing in our lives, are we willing to trust God and follow him the way that Mary did? The third thing, as we go to verse 35, is that Mary trusted God in the unknown. She had no idea what was in store for her. Can you imagine, if you were Mary, what you would be thinking about carrying the Son of God? How am I going to be a... That just seems so intimidating to me. I'm not a mother, but I'm sure you mothers would feel a little intimidated if you knew that you were given a responsibility like that. None of this seemed, I think, possible to Mary. Like, well, how can I have a baby without being with a man? None of it made any sense to her. How could she face this task that God was giving her? But as I read over this a number of times, do you know what I didn't see that tells us a lot about Mary? Does she ever say, no, I can't do this? Does she ever say, I can't? That tells us a lot about Mary, doesn't it? She was willing to do what God wanted, and she was trusting him to somehow make this happen. So as a mom, remember that God's going to be with you every step of the way. And I think one of the encouraging things in this scripture is verse 37 to you. You know, God is a God of impossible. And God says that in 37, that nothing's impossible. Nothing's impossible for God to do. Life will not always be easy for you, but God will walk you through it. Philippians 4:13, very familiar, says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so those are things that we just need to remember, not only as mothers, but all of us, that when we face tough times, nothing's impossible for God. He can give us the strength we need to make it through whatever trial we're facing. The fourth thing, I think, is in verse 38. What does Mary say? I am the Lord's servant. I'm your servant. May it be to me as you have said. Mary was surrendering herself to her Heavenly Father. She was surrendering to God's will. I think when she did that, she was willing to let God use her however he wanted to. And I had to think about that. I think we all surrender ourselves to God's will, don't we? Can you all say that, yeah, I could surrender to God's will, but I had to think about it. Sometimes I say, well, yeah, God, use me to do this, this, and this. You know, I want to make the terms. But what Mary did is she surrendered no matter what God decided. Because there's some things that are scary for us to do. God, I really don't want to do that. So how about if you let me do this, and help me do these things? But God wants us, true surrender is letting him use us however he wants. And that's not an easy thing. But Mary was willing to do that here, I believe. Some of the things that she was surrendering to are some of the things that she was going to experience in life. She experienced being an outcast. What happened after? Remember what happened in Scripture after Gabriel came and talked to her? She went to visit her relatives, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And she was there for 3 months. So I think part of that was just to get away out of the community. So as people started realizing she's pregnant, that she would have been spared some of that grief. But she went back. After Zachariah and Elizabeth, it had to be tough for her to go back to her home community. I'm not sure exactly how that happened or what happened, but it wasn't an easy thing that she had to go through because she was willing to allow God use him however he wanted. She had to see her son suffer. She had to see her son be ridiculed, to be hurt, to be beaten. And she had to see him on the cross. Can you imagine that as a mother? I don't know how she did that. But verse 38 changed Mary's life forever. And I think it brought her great joy and into a closer relationship with God. But it was an easy journey for her. And so sometimes when we surrender to what God wants us to do, it's not easy. But it does bring us that joy of knowing that we're in his presence and we're in his will. The fifth thing, this is found in verses 46 to 55. We're not going to read this. What happens in between 38 and 46 is that she goes to be with her relatives, basically, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And while she's there, these verses, she just praises the Lord. So the fifth thing is Mary lived a life of praise despite her circumstances. And I had to think about that. The doubts, the fears she had, the questions, the unknowns. When she was praising the Lord and focused on him, when we praise the Lord and focus on him, it gets our minds off what Satan's trying to tempt us with or how Satan's trying to attack us. And so I think if I have doubt in my life and I praise the Lord, it gets my mind off that. And if there's something that Satan can get a hook in, he's going to do that and really hit us in that one thing. If I have fear or if I'm troubling questions or things I don't understand, if I praise the Lord, it connects us with our Heavenly Father. And that's what Mary was doing. She was connecting with her Heavenly Father. I think it's hard to experience negative thoughts or things like that when you're praising God. And so moms, when you're having that rough day, I guess for most of us now, it might be grandparents, some children yet. When you have that rough time, you don't know what to do. You kind of did that a little bit with Aiden this week, Nicole. It was kind of a tough thing. Praise the Lord. Just spend some time praising the Lord, and that'll get your heart back where it needs to be. I don't know if anybody does this anymore, but can you remember some nights when you were up half the night because one of your babies or one of your children was just crying and crying, you couldn't get them to bed? That's not a time I would think of praising the Lord, but I think that's what Mary would have done. Praise the Lord in the midst of all the struggles and trials you're going through. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, very familiar verse. Be joyful. To say some of the time, once in a while, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to be people of praise. The sixth thing I have, this is one I think I read between the lines a little bit. I don't have a scripture for this one. But I believe Mary's suffering, all the hard things she went through in life, drew her closer to her Heavenly Father. I often observe people, and I often think of something difficult like cancer. I've seen people that have devastating news. We just had a prayer concern, I think, the other week for Brenda Copenhaver, who had cancer. They opened her up and closed her up and gave her a couple months to live because she's just full of cancer. When we go through really difficult times in life, I see it either draws people closer to the Lord or it seems like they push the Lord away. But I think in Mary's case, all the hard times she went through, it drew her closer to the Lord because she needed the Lord to lean on. She needed to have God's presence in her life. She saw Jesus ridiculed by the Jewish leaders. She saw him opposed by the whole Sanhedrin. She saw him falsely accused. She saw him crucified. I think the relationship between a mother and a son or mother and a daughter is very strong. And I think that Mary, I think, understood more than the disciples even what Jesus had to do, what he was going through. I can't imagine what she probably thought when Jesus was 12 years old, when they were leaving Jerusalem and they traveled a day and realized he wasn't with them and went back and searched for him. Can you imagine searching a couple days for your 12-year-old son? How frantic you must be. What do you think Mary felt like? And they found him sitting in the temple talking to the priests and the elders there. Very intelligently, they were astonished at his intelligence and what he was sharing and knew. And when the Magi came to visit, or even before that, when the shepherds were there with Mary, I mean, it says she treasured those things, but there's so many things that she saw in young Jesus, and we don't know what happened between birth and 30 years old, except the one account when he's 12 years old in Scripture. So how can you not live with the Son of God in your house for 30 years and not be drawn closer to your Heavenly Father? How can you not live 30 years with the Holy Spirit residing in you and not be drawn closer to your Heavenly Father? But I just think that there had to be times when Jesus would have talked to his mom and shared those things, just like you can talk to your mom. You can always talk to your mom better than your dad. Doesn't it seem that way? That Jesus wouldn't have shared, and I think Mary would have gotten it. The disciples weren't getting it when he said, I'm going to die and rise again. But I think Mary would have gotten that. So I think she had an inkling of what was going to be happening. And it had to be very difficult for you, for her. But I think all those things she suffered amidst all the good times she had with Jesus would have drawn her closer to the Heavenly Father. The last thing we have, does anybody know what the last chapter in Proverbs talks about? Proverbs 31.
A godly woman.
A godly woman. And so verses, we're not going to read it. You can read it this afternoon if you want to. Verses 10 to the end of the chapter in Proverbs 31 is always a tough scripture for me to read, because when I read that, I think, well, it seems like the man is just like living a life of ease, drinking his iced tea, sitting at the gate, and his wife's doing all the work, and that just doesn't seem right to me. And then if I'd be a woman and you read all these things that are virtuous, it seems like, that's that's almost an impossible task to fill. How can I be a woman like this here? And so I think it's hard maybe for both of us to look at that and reconcile it. When I thought about being a woman, I'm probably misinterpreting, but when you read that, ladies, do you feel like a sense that this is almost an impossibility? And when I was thinking about that, it brought me back to Luke 1:37, when what is God? Nothing is impossible for God. So maybe that gives you a little bit of encouragement for that. I think the key to this verse, though, or this chapter, is verse 30. Verse 30 says, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Those are both worldly things. And if you look at I'm not sure what chapter it is in Ezekiel. Those are things that lead to pride. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? Are we really fearing the Lord the way we should? When it said Mary was afraid, she wasn't fearing the Lord. I think she was just afraid and startled. But what it means to fear the Lord. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5 says this. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples before he speaks to the whole crowd. He says, I tell you, my friends, Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who after the killing of the body has power to throw you into hell. Jesus is looking at things from a spiritual perspective here. So I think when Scripture tells us to fear the Lord, well, I think the seventh thing is that Mary feared the Lord. But what that meant that she was doing is fearing the Lord means we understand who he is. Fearing the Lord means we understand that he has infinite power and infinite wisdom. It means that we know that he's the creator of everything. When we go out into nature, we're just living in a very, very small part of the whole earth, aren't we? But God created everything we see when we go outside. And he created everything in the whole world. And if that doesn't give you a sense of all of him and understand how powerful he is, I don't know what else would do that. He's also holy. He's holy, meaning he's sinless, he's perfect, there's nothing wrong with him. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross, one of the last things he said is, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he took our sin upon him, God was so holy he couldn't look on his own son because of that sin. So he is a holy God. He has authority over all things. And he's a just and he's a loving God. We understand his love, we also need to understand his justice. So God is way more than I can even describe to you. I think when we get to heaven, maybe for all eternity, but for thousands and thousands of years, we're going to be learning something new about him. He's going to be revealing himself to us. And it'll be such a joy, but I think it'll put us in such an awe of him as we get to know him even better. So as we think about those things, as we think about God, it gives us a deep sense of awe, reverence, and respect for him. And I think that's what fearing the Lord means. And because of that, I think the result of knowing who God is and having that respect and awe and reverence for him, it's going to result in praising him, which Mary did. It's going to result in our worship of him. Why'd you come to church this morning? Did you come to see Joanne or Chuck? To worship. Well, I had to come this morning because I had to give the message. You know, is that the way we... Sometimes I come to church that way, which isn't a good thing. And I think we can all relate to that. But we should be coming because we want to worship the Lord together. We want to come into his presence. We want to learn from him. We just want to praise him. Mary was good at that. Obedience is another result of that. We see that she was obedient. Desire to seek after him. I think that she would feel that as well. Gratitude for what he has done for us. And so in closing today, moms, mothers, fear God, worship him, seek him, be obedient to him, surrender to him, trust him, share him with others, love him. And what else can you add to that? There's many things you can add to that list. But being a godly mom is such a blessing. And you can see in the children sometimes, there are wayward children. But a godly mom will continue to pray. I know a mother who prayed for years and years and years for their sons. And you know what? Eventually they came to the Lord. And so keep praying. If you have a child that needs to know the Lord, that's a powerful weapon you have for them. So in closing this morning, we're going to sing a Christmas song, but I just thought it would be appropriate for this morning. So let's stand and close and let's sing Mary, Did You Know? About what she was thinking.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
We didn't all have godly mothers growing up, but for those of us who did, it was such a blessing. And we thank you so much for the mothers here at New Beginnings this morning. We thank you that they are godly women. And we pray, Father, that you will walk with them, watch over them, and help them as you did Mary. You are such an awesome God, and you love us so much, and we are so thankful to be with you here this morning. We pray now that you will go with each one of us this week. Encourage us, strengthen us, motivate us, and help us be obedient to the direction you give each of our lives. In your name we pray, amen.